This episode is brought to you by Dark Waters Performance Dive Co. They manufacture top-of-the-line gear for spearfishing and freediving in Southern California. If you're looking for a custom float line for hunting a fish of a lifetime, Dark Waters can build it for you. They also offer FII Level 1 freediving classes. If you're brand new and want to learn how to freedive or spearfish, they can definitely help you out. Check them out at darkwaters.co, and if you have any questions, send them an email to sales@darkwaters.co. Go buy their shit. It's lifetime guaranteed. Take their classes. Dive deeper, longer, and harder. If you guys want to buy some gear from there, they're going to give a promo code, intercastcrank, on their website for classes or for 15% off of order. Again, check them out at darkwaters.co. Welcome to Casting and Crank Podcast. Today we have Eric McIntyre with Fishhead Custom Lures.
What's up?
And this is a cool one, man. He's very popular. I think he is through the scene with his paintings. He's got some sick lures he makes and a real popular spotty crankbait. So we're going to kind of talk about how he got into it. He also has a pretty interesting job doing you work with the White Sea Bass Fish Hatchery. So he's pretty involved in the fish industry. So let's talk about how this all started. How'd you get into fishing?
I got into fishing long ago, and then I can remember. first time was with my dad and my granddad. My granddad was in, they lived in Kentucky. We used to go visit them every once or twice a year. And as a little kid, we were, they just took us out to a farm pond, put bags on my shoes, and step in the cow shit, and go catch bluegill.
Yeah.
And that kind of started it.
Your dad then was a big...
Not at all.
No.
He kind of skipped a generation. So, yeah, my granddad was heavy into it, and he used to make lures in his basement, and I don't know.
My dad. Did that kind of trigger you then to what you want to do because your grandfather...
A little bit, yeah. I mean, they were like... My dad, I think, was like the sixth generation dentist, and kind of that part wasn't feeling it, you know? So I think there's some, they're kind of bummed about that, but
yeah.
Yeah, the outdoor thing caught me.
Yeah, yeah, that's super cool. And so you grew up in San Diego?
Well, yeah, we moved here when I was 10.
Okay.
So lived in the Bay Area up north before that. Never really fished up there.
Okay.
So it wasn't until we moved here and started hitting the local lakes, mostly Poway, Lake Dixon, Lake Hodges a little bit, because they're all within like 10 minutes of my house.
Yeah, yeah.
So we were doing all that, some little golf course spawns and stuff.
Were you doing spotties then too?
Not at first, no. It wasn't until I started driving.
Oh, really?
Kind of discovered the bays. And
so you've been fishing spotties. The bays for a long time?
Yeah.
Is that kind of how you got pushed into the job you do?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think through high school, kind of wanted to study fish. Mm-hmm. There was kind of the dream that I'd be a professional fisherman, but then realized there's at that time there was no money in it. So I was like, I'm still going to go study fish.
Yeah.
And at that point discovered aquaculture in college and been doing that ever since.
How did you get into doing that? Like, how did you get the job? Like, how did that all happen?
Well, went to Humboldt State, kind of undeclared, but discovered they had a fisheries program. Started studying fish while I was there and got my degree. About halfway through coming home one summer, my dad knew somebody who knew somebody.
Okay.
And found this little lab in San Diego in Sereno Valley that was growing hybrid striped bass. I just kind of walked in there with a resume that had nothing on it. Said, I'm looking for a summer job. You got anything?
Yeah.
And the guy actually hired me.
No way.
And then, yeah, lucky. And, so I did that for like summer and winter breaks from basically like my junior year or sophomore year on. So did that for about 3 years.
That's all hybrid striped bass?
Yeah. It was a commercial operation. So they had like a research lab.
How big would they get in there?
We were growing them just from egg to like 2 to 3 inches.
No way.
And then send them out to a farm in Indio out by Palm Springs. And they would grow them up for commercial size, basically to sell them to restaurants and markets.
A couple pounds or something.
Yeah, I think Target was like a pound and a half.
Really? Did they fight?
Yeah.
Were they really good?
Yeah. Hybrids pull.
Do they have many lakes?
No. They had stocked, like, what was it? Santa Ana River Lake stocked them at one time. That other one, Corona Lake.
Okay.
Had stocked them at one time.
Really?
Just a small couple hundred fish or something like that.
How'd they do?
I don't know. Not so good. Really? I don't think people... No one guy caught one that was like huge. Like 10 or 12 pounds or something.
Yeah.
And but he never heard of them. I don't know what they did.
Wow.
And then Irvine might have bought some too.
Yeah, that's my lake. I love.
Yeah, it was mostly for commercials. I was going to like... They did live sales at the Asian markets. Some restaurants. They had a processing thing too, so it's all fillets.
Okay.
But it was mostly live sales.
Okay.
And,
So you did that, and that kind of went into what you're doing now? Or did you do some other fish in between?
No, it was that until, like, I graduated, did 3 years full-time after school. The same guy that hired me there had gone to the White Sea Bass Hatchery, like, a year or so after I graduated. And then it was a couple of years later that a spot opened up, and he called me saying, hey, we got this opening. Are you interested?
Mm-hmm.
And I went up and interviewed, which... wasn't much of an interview. It was like, tell me about it. Do you want it? Yeah, I'll take it. That kind of deal.
Yeah.
Again, lucky. And that was 2001. I've been there ever since.
Oh, man.
So
you know a lot about white sea bass then, huh?
A little bit, yeah.
Do you fish for them a lot?
Not as much as I'd like to.
No.
I mean, we do some for work. I don't get out on boats too much, but we do go out and collect wild fish for our brood stock, our spawners for the program.
You'll go out and do that?
Sometimes. It's been a couple of years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, dude. Oh. And don't they have like a pin in Dana Point, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I've caught in like a lot of shorts there.
Yeah. So I hear they hang out at the bait bars there.
Yeah. Yeah. That's super cool. So let's talk about how you got into painting lures.
Okay. Let's see. I don't remember what year that was either. I did fish a tournament for the FLW, like the Everstart series that they used to have along the California, like the Western states or whatever, and just fished the Delta. So I went on as like a co-angler, and that was probably 2008 or something, maybe, something like that. I just thought it would be fun. Let's go check this out, see what the tournament thing's all about. And
were you pretty hardcore freshwater at the time?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it was before kids. So I was hardcore every day, you know, or before they're old enough.
Yeah,
and so went up there for a couple of days and pre-fished, and then as the co-angler, you just get random drawing. You get paired up with a professional, or basically a boat owner. And the first day I was with a guide up there, and we fished pretty hard.
Delta.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was out of. I forget what the place is called. They kind of run all the tournaments out of there. And we just fished right in front, and he whacked them on Senkos, and then caught my first like real swim bait fishing with that guy. Like a 6-pounder on an Osprey.
Nice.
During the tournament, it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
And then like 2 dinks. But the second day, I got paired up with another guy, and he was straight bed fishing. So I was just kind of watching him,
which
sucked. But I managed to have like a 15-minute stretch where I put 4 fish in the boat, which is what I needed.
Wow.
And then just proceeded to kind of watch him bed fish all day. And he ended up with like 24 pounds or some shit.
Wow.
And he went on. He made the cut and went on. I barely made the money cut.
Yeah.
So I kind of got my entry fee back, which was cool. But making a long story short, had a lot of time to talk with that guy while he's fishing, and he kind of introduced me to a company called Sixth Sense.
Okay.
And at the time, that guy was a painter selling a lot of stuff on eBay, and he's kind of evolved into, he's got his own all kinds of stuff now, different crankbaits and plastics, jigs, I think the whole nine. But at that time, he was, oh yeah, custom painting, you should check it out, it's gonna be a big deal. And okay. So I did.
I guess it was, huh?
Yeah. Well, it turned out to be.
And you started in 2000.
Well, here's the thing. I went home, bought a kit off eBay. tried it, sucked at it, hated it. And it's like so frustrating.
Yeah,
like,
dude.
I gave up on it. I put all that stuff in a box on the shelf and shelved it for years.
Yeah.
And it was about 5 years ago, I picked it up again.
Okay.
And went in with another different mindset. I'm like, work through the frustration. I'm going to watch some videos, hang out on Tackle Underground.
Yeah.
On the forums, ask a lot of questions.
Yeah.
And just kind of learn it. And, you know, here we are.
Yeah, dude. That like I said, when I started surf fishing, I went through 5 million Lucky Crafts. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I cannot keep spending fucking $17.
Yeah.
Because these things look like shit now.
Yep.
So I tried a couple different things and I started painting myself. I got lucky. My cousin's husband is a professional airbrusher. Yes. His name's Steve Van Diemen. Uh-huh. So he does, Matt knows who he is. Koch, actually, from art.
Okay.
He does like seminars at West Coast Customs.
Okay.
Where they do, you know, you ever go to the one in Anaheim?
Mm-mm.
They sell like all airbrush. You should stop by if you're down.
I've been to Coast, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't been to any of their seminars though.
Yeah, dude. I mean, I would go there and buy, the paint all the time. I had a mm-hmm. couple of the Pache airbrushes.
Yeah.
Same thing. I tried and I got okay at it. The time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I just want to fucking fish, man.
It's hours.
So it'd be like, you know, I did the stencils and I did, you know, made a couple. And this is back when I kind of realized about it was probably 2010, 11. Mm-hmm. It was Fishing Network and it was that guy, I think it was John Kim.
Yeah.
And he did them and he had the Lucky Craft whole deal, but he had some cool lures too. Mm-hmm. But I never saw anything else from him on that, you know, so... you've been doing it for a long time, and you know where I've seen it for a long time,
mm-hmm.
and so it's really cool. But so do you do only repaints, or do you do your own lures now too?
It's a little bit of everything. Mm-hmm. Like right now, like half of the orders I have to do are repaints or more. Guys sending me, I got one guy that sent a box of like 50 baits.
Oh shoot!
And then I'm about halfway through that.
Do you do it like a production line?
I'm starting to. I used to be like just take orders and just knock out an order and move on to the next. Now it's like, well, this many guys want spotties, so I spent one day just painting spotties. Like last week I think I knocked out like 30 spotties.
Is that like a big business for you, spotties?
That's most of it. Yeah it's that and then everything else pretty much. And the ghost shrimp I think is the next most popular, and then everything else is just kind of random.
Did this turn you into like a big crankbait fisherman since you pinned?
I think I was before.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, back growing up around Lake Hodges is a good crankbait lake. So we used to fish a lot of shad wraps and fat wraps and jerk baits.
Okay.
Around there.
Were you part of a club? A bass club?
I never did a club thing. No. Okay. Thought about it, but didn't have time for it, I guess.
Yeah.
So
now did you take the crankbait knowledge you had and kind of push it to the salt water when you're doing spotties?
Yeah, because like when we started hitting the bays and stuff, it was all swim baits. I never really thought about fishing anything else. And it wasn't until a few years ago, I'm like, spotties eat everything just like a largemouth. And, you know, even more aggressive towards it and started throwing the crankbaits. And then kind of came up with the ghost shrimp idea.
Was that before the spotty?
Yeah.
Okay, ghost shrimp is your first.
Ghost shrimp was the first one. And then, you know, that kind of triggered a couple guys were like, dude, you should paint a spotty.
Can you pull out some of those baits and we can take a look at them? Yeah,
absolutely. Let's see. This ghost shrimp is kind of a blemished one, so it's not perfect, but I feel like that one's there.
Cool, man.
And that's just probably end up as a personal because I jacked up the eyes on it.
Is that a stencil you have on that one?
Yeah, okay. So all the... any craw or shrimp or, you know, crab pattern, whatever. I use mm-hmm. a stencil made out of Frisket foam. And that's how I do the kind of the shell pattern.
And you're probably learning a lot about your colors.
Mm-hmm.
You get to make a lot of custom colors?
Not too much, no. I used to, like, the base color for that one was like a bone color. But now that there's a bone color called that's available through, like, Coast Airbrush has it. I think what else the wounded soldier, which this one's I was screwing around because I had extra paint,
but is this a newer card? Is this something you've been doing for a long time?
No, I've done the wounded soldier one for a little while.
Uh-huh.
And wounded spotty, but to actually put it on like a crawdad or a crab type pattern. It's the first one I've done. I just learned that Wounded Soldiers kind of mimics a sardine, so
yeah,
that's a little off base, but
nice. So let's see the spotty. This is the one everyone spotty wants.
See, which is a good one. It's a jerk bait. I've been doing a few of those lately.
Is it
started out as a crankbait though, so.
But I'll put this isn't a 110, is it? What is it?
It's similar. It's a 130. It's a blank. So, but it's similar to the 110. It's just a, like an inch bigger.
Cool.
All of these are they're knockoffs or blanks. So they're generic baits that are molded off of brand name stuff.
Yeah.
Like this one's similar to the.
So you do both. You'll sell the bait already made, and then you'll do the repaints too.
Yeah. Okay. And I can get some baits for people too. I mean, I've been painting a lot of Norman, like deep little ends, Strike King 5XDs, 10XDs. Mm-hmm. You know, I can get those for people too, whatever, or get some guys will send them to me either way.
Yeah.
So,
you can see that.
Most of what I paint and fish are the knockoffs though. There's.
You feel like they work just as well?
Most, yeah. I mean, there's some crap ones out there, and I think I posted not too long ago, I found some deep little end knockoffs, and they were garbage, so I won't sell them. I test stuff out first.
Oh, you do? That's cool.
Try to get good quality stuff, and I'm not selling something that I don't fish myself. So between that one I just showed you, uh-huh, and then this one.
Yeah.
And this is the one I fish the most. It's got this hole in the lip. I don't know why. Supposedly for a bubble trail.
Yeah.
But I think it helps.
And this is diving.
That one dives like 12 to 13 feet.
Wow.
It's kind of heavy, so it bombs. I can,
yeah,
cast that thing far, and then when it gets down, it stays down. I think hit the grass and it just kind of hovers there, and that's a lot of time when they eat it.
Yeah, the eel grass. You're fishing down San Diego a lot, huh?
Yeah, primarily Mission Bay, San Diego Bay a little bit.
Yeah, I've got to get down there sometime and try to fish, man. Yeah,
come down.
I talked to Matt Moyer too about mm-hmm. it coming down, and it's a you guys got a great fishery down there, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Don't tell anyone. No. So, you've been, man, that these are really, really nice, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
So cool looking. And how long did it take you to really get down the spotty pattern?
To where it's at now?
Yeah.
It took a while.
Yeah?
Yeah, a lot of trial and error, a lot of playing with colors, uh-huh, just to kind of get the blend right. And the colors, they kind of feed off each other a little bit, too. So it's not just.
Now, are you an artist?
Am I an artist?
Mike, do you draw and stuff?
I would say an artist is a stretch, but, you know, I took art classes in high school and was always into it.
Okay.
I always felt like it sucked.
Yeah.
You know, so I mean, I'm not that, to that level by any means.
But, I mean, you had like an interest in art.
Yeah.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So this isn't like you just said, oh, I'm going to do it. You're like kind of like, you can kind of make something. The lure looked the way you wanted to, like a piece of art. Mm-hmm. Almost kind of. Okay.
Yeah. You know, a lot of people tell me that. I'm probably a little extra critical of myself. But people are like, dude, I'm not going to fish this. This thing's beautiful. I'm like,
okay. Yeah, you see that guy have Randy's gave me from Randy Stillbaits.
Yeah.
He gave me one of his nice lures, and I'm like, I'm not fucking fishing that, dude. I'm going to fucking hang it on the wall, bro. That's nice.
Are rad.
Yeah.
I got a guy send me some of those I got to paint, too.
Yeah, dude. Mm-hmm. Those are. Yeah, Charles, the other guest, does it too. He'll paint them, but like I want one of them just to hang because mm-hmm. he'll do like the Bones Brigade looking thing on
yeah.
it. Yeah, so those are cool just to have hanging up and right. stuff, dude. But these, yeah, I mean, you paint swim baits too, like the big jointed swim baits.
I've done some. I've actually got a couple. I got a triple trout that a guy sent me right now that I got to do a couple depths, which will be interesting. I haven't done those before because I got that got soft. Outer shell.
Yeah.
So I'll have to figure that out. We'll do some here and there.
Do you do lead heads?
I've done some, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Seem like they'd be a bitch.
They are. The smaller it is, the harder it is to get a lot of detail in there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. It's.
So lead heads, dude, you do it all, man.
Yeah, a little bit.
Do you have a boat?
No.
No, you fish from shore a lot?
I got a float tube.
Okay, you do a lot of float
tubing. I've been float tubing for. Shit, almost as long as I've been fishing.
The bays too?
Yeah.
You ever run into problems with seals?
No.
Never, huh?
Mm-mm.
That's what's always scared me.
I don't go around the bait barges or any of that. every once in a while, like in Mission Bay, I've had them pop up near me. And then, what the hell was that?
Yeah.
You'll hear them kind of come up and exhale or snort or whatever. And then
they
disappear again. but no, they've never really come after me or come close.
A lot of fresh water float tubing too. You know? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I haven't been hitting fresh water as much as I used to, but
feel like a little more pressure now.
That and a lot of the lakes, because of the whole quagga mussel thing, they don't let you put a float tube in.
Really? So, mm-hmm. Down your way, what lakes can you float tube?
I think you can probably still float tube Hodges. You can float tube Barrett when it opens. San Vicente, I don't think they care because they just kind of accepted that it's there. Because they're getting water straight from the aqueduct, and those mussels are everywhere in that place. I'm not sure where else.
That's about it, huh?
Yeah.
But you haven't been hitting those as much, huh?
Mm-mm. I fished freshwater. I think I hit Barrett once last year. And then I need to start hitting Hodges because it's right by my house. I need to just hike out there and do it. But I get home from work, I'm like, oh, I got all these orders. I got
to
paint.
So how much of the time is taking you to really focus on the lure making now that, you know, on your off hours, are you doing that like 30% of the time instead of fishing?
At least. Yeah. I mean, almost every night after work, I get home, I'll kick it for a little bit, drink a beer, have dinner, and then hit the garage.
Yeah.
Wait for it to cool off. I mean, it's been, this winter's been rough because, like we were talking about with the hopper, the humidity, the rain, all the rain we've had, and mm-hmm. the temperature has really set me back because I just can't do what I need to do.
You can't do any clear coating when it's like that. So you got a lot of lures just hanging here. Did your garage turn into a workshop for this?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we got a one car garage. We live in a condo.
Mm-hmm.
And it was already a mess because there's shit everywhere. And half of it was like, fishing tackle. This is kind of where all my stuff gets stored. And then the other side became the shop. And there's like a little path you can walk down. It looks like hoarders, you know. And I got enough room to move and that's it.
Yeah. So you don't have like any like custom racks built or anything like that for all this stuff?
Yeah, we bought some shelves from IKEA.
Yeah.
So I got little whatever modular tie you can move them around or whatever. And then I take like coat hangers and clip the lures to the coat hanger, to the wire. So they're all hanging from that. And I've got...
There you go.
Probably got like 80 baits hanging right now.
Do you spin them?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah, okay. When I do the... So I'll paint them. I usually let them sit a day and then I'll come back and epoxy them. And I've got a little rack with a rotisserie motor.
Yeah.
And I can spin like 16 at a time.
Oh, that's nice.
So
yeah, I just had the, when I was rod wrapping, I had that little, it's Baston.
Mm-hmm.
I had one of those. So I just would spin like two at a time.
Okay.
But I was so fucking impatient. It'd be the night before I'd be done. Give me the 5 minute fucking.
Yeah.
It probably wasn't even cured the next day.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just like I wanted to go fishing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure it's hard to get the right finish to make sure that the bait swims the same way.
Well, I got to make sure I'm not putting too much epoxy on.
Okay.
So
you got to make sure it's like kind of multiple thin coats possibly or mm-hmm. something like that.
I used to just get away with one, mm-hmm. but. And I've, you know, fished those pretty hard without any hook rash or any issues. I mean, if it pings off of rocks or a dock or something, it's going to chip. There's nothing really
either way about that.
I've been doing two lately just because the humidity and stuff is, if I don't get it even,
mm-hmm.
you know, if I rush it and miss a spot or little bubbles come out, I'm going to sand it down and put a second thin coat on.
Do you have the kids helping you ever?
They want to, but they talk a good game when it comes down to it. Not yet.
No.
So
soon enough, probably.
Yeah, we got some other things in the works that they want to get involved in. So.
Oh, that's cool.
So
yeah, busy with the kids always, huh?
Yeah.
Definitely. So. And you, what kind of hardware do you like to use on your baits? Do you so when they do a repaint, are you just giving them back the lure with no hardware?
Yeah. Okay. Usually those guys have stuff ready.
Okay.
So they just send me the bait. If they want new stuff put on, I'll put on it. What I put on the baits that I sell, it's VMC hooks right now. It's just a kind of a generic stainless split ring that I get from one of the suppliers that sell the blanks.
Okay.
And I've been playing with other hooks with the Owner inline singles, the Trapper trebles, which are kind of weird, but I don't know if you've seen those.
No.
It's kind of, I don't have any. There might be one in the car, but anyway, the Trappers have, instead of a round band, it's kind of like a square.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I've seen
those. The fish, they tend to stay pinned on those things.
Oh, really?
But I need to test it more. So, and I reached out to them. They wanted a picture to use in one of their ads. I'm like, hell yeah, go for it. Just put my logo in there.
Mm-hmm.
And they did. I don't know if they ever used it, but then, and that like kind of opened the door. I'm like, hey, who do I talk to about getting wholesale pricing?
Mm-hmm.
I want to start using these. And I got crickets. I sent an email out. Said, oh yeah, he'll get back to you. I'm like, sure he will.
That's what happens sometimes, but, right?
Yeah. So whatever. Back to VMCs for now.
And
at some point I might do like upgrade to owners or whatever,
yeah.
But trying to keep, if I got to do that, I'm going to bump the price up quite a bit. And
so what is a bait run right now?
I'm doing 15 each.
For, doesn't matter if it's crank or?
Doesn't matter.
Okay.
Any bait, any pattern, repaints.
It's not bad at all, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's.
Let's keep it reasonable.
Dude, the
tackle gets lost and shit. So
yeah, dude.
Don't you feel like you're talking about a lucky craft?
Fuck.
Like burning through a $18 or $20 bait. And like, well, if you get one and shipping, it's basically the same price.
So. Yeah. But, yeah, it's, I don't know. I hear you, but this is the thing, is you're putting your time.
Mm-hmm.
I know that. You sat there and painted that. It's kind of a little different than a production line,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It
definitely takes time. My wife saw me about it, too.
Oh, God. I can't imagine. I can't. Hey, trust me. I get so much shit from my wife sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
They're at the beach today. I told you the kids are gone. My wife's gone, dude. This is my day.
Nice.
I should be fishing, guys, but I'm trying to bring you more content.
There you go.
So did you have this when Instagram started? Or did you do this before? Instagram. Like, did you have a page going before you went on Instagram?
Not for lures.
No.
I kind of had a personal page, and that's kind of why it's still like Fishhead 15 instead of like Fishhead Custom Lures or something.
Yeah.
I keep thinking, should I change it? And then I just leave it alone.
Yeah.
But it started out as a personal page.
Okay.
And so, I mean, you probably scroll back and see the ugly shit I started painting, you know, if you want to go back a few years.
And how has it been with the positivity, negativity with Instagram on here?
I haven't seen, no, on my page, I haven't had any
negativity. That's good, man. I'm sure, but it's getting popular. A lot of people are starting to paint lures too. So
mm-hmm.
it's kind of cool. You're the, you know, the guy that kind of not started it, I would say somewhat.
Mm-hmm.
At least at SoCal for the spotty thing. I haven't seen anyone else really do what you do.
Yeah.
Like you do. Right. You know what I'm saying? So it's kind of cool to have you on about that.
Well, thank you. Yeah. I kind of feel like I've kind of created a niche of sorts.
Yeah.
You know, I know there's other guys painting. There's been guys painting irons for a long time.
Yeah. But the lure thing,
keep it a little unique.
Yeah, definitely. And you do freshwater guys for freshwater.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really give a shit.
I don't get many requests. Uh-huh. I started out doing that. I actually first started selling through like some forums on Facebook, like auction type pages and stuff. And it was all freshwater because most of those guys are all back east.
Yeah.
And that's kind of why I went this route too, is there's thousands of people painting baits for freshwater. I'm like, well, let's try and, you know, focus a little bit. I know my market's probably a little bit smaller, but.
But you hit the spotty thing right on the head.
Thank you.
So yeah, that's what you're definitely known for, man. That's how I seen your work. And I seen Corey's reel, the spotty reel. Mm-hmm. That thing's fucking cool. Yeah. Have you done a lot of those?
No. I've done a few. I'm working on a reel right now. And then another guy that I was supposed to meet up with yesterday. To do Alexa.
Okay.
So I got those.
You got to rip them down and everything?
Full breakdown.
Oh, man.
I clean them up.
You're servicing them at the same time almost. Yeah.
Yeah. When they go back together, I'll service them, clean them up, put fresh oil and grease in there.
Yeah.
So.
Have you done a white sea bass one just for fun?
I've done some crankbaits.
Yeah.
Well, I had one of the volunteer groups up in Channel Islands that run the net pen up there.
Mm-hmm.
He had requested to make a bunch of little keychains.
Oh,
so
cool.
We did a white sea bass pattern on these little like 2-inch jerkbait. For keychains and put Channel Islands Harbor.
Got my GoPro, sorry guys.
Batteries down. So I just kind of wrote Channel Islands Harbor grow out on the thing and did a set of like 20 for those guys and he handed them out as gifts to all his volunteers. So, and the guy I'm supposed to meet up with wants to do a white sea bass pattern on his Lexa. So
that'll be cool, man.
That'll be cool.
Yeah.
First one I've done of those.
Anything, you know that really good, huh?
Mm-hmm.
So what do you actually do with the pins down when you're working? Like, kind of what is your job title? Do you just a little bit of everything? Do you focus on, you know, growth? And
it's,
if you want to explain just so.
Of course, yeah, it's a little bit of everything. So I'm the hatchery manager at the White Sea Bass facility in Carlsbad.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of overseeing the day-to-day operations there. So it's all anything from, you know, taking care of systems, taking care of fish, making sure everything's running smoothly. And so we keep adult fish in the house. Currently got like 75 right now.
Okay.
They spawn for us, so we'll collect eggs and set them as needed. Basically raise the fish from egg to about 3 months old.
Wow.
And then sometimes a little longer, tag them and then put them out in these grow out facility cages that are, excuse me, they're run by volunteers. So we get them up to size, we get them tagged. We're under contract with the Department of Fish and Wildlife, so we're required to tag everything that leaves the facility. That's where our funding comes from.
Okay.
We work for you. If you have an ocean enhancement stamp
mm-hmm.
on your license, that's the funding goes to run this program.
Great. At least so, we know you're handling it.
Yeah, it's been taken care of. So
that's cool, man. And so if you can give us some tips handling these fish. So I know, say we catch a short one, what's the best way to go about it? Because I've seen stuff even on the internet where people go, you got to do this, you got to do that. I think you would probably be the foremost person to kind of help us.
With the sea bass?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say don't handle them if you can help it.
Okay.
Shake them off at boat side.
Okay.
They're pretty delicate.
Yeah.
Like most fish, but more so. I'd probably compare them to like a rainbow trout or something.
Okay.
So if you can shake them off at the side of the boat, and if you get on a school that won't leave, you should, you know.
Huh.
Move on, as you know, a lot of people say, you know, because they'll come to the boat and hang out. If you're just catching them, you know, one after another, you're gonna end up doing a lot of damage.
Yeah,
good to just, you know, pull anchor and pick a new spot.
Yeah, definitely.
So, but yeah, wet hands, it's all kind of the standard stuff. If you do need to get them in the boat, handle them with wet hands. If they swallow the hook, cut it,
just leave the hook and cut it.
Yeah,
okay.
So, I mean, they've got a lot of, they're pretty slimy fish. So you start taking that stuff off, you're just going to open them up to infection and bacteria and stuff.
Yeah. So have you seen the growth of the population go up since you've been working?
I feel like it has. I haven't seen recent numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that a lot of the regulations have changed as well as the program being created. So I think both of those are working together to kind of help those fish come back.
Have you caught any in the harbors ever on your baits?
Not on my baits, not yet, no.
No?
Uh-uh.
Soon enough, huh?
Hopefully. Yeah, I mean, I got a couple shorts last year. Both of those were on underspin. I haven't been off. I want to get one on one of my squid baits. I don't have any of those in here.
What does that look like?
You know, basically, I use color shift paint, and then I'll do like a pink and kind of pink and gray and purple. And then I print out eyeballs and move them to the back of the bait.
Oh, no way.
So I got, probably show you a picture. Dig through my phone, but, and then tie a feathered treble.
Oh, really?
For the trailer hook to kind of look like, mimic the tentacles or whatever.
Does that work pretty well?
I've got some guys that, they haven't been real popular, but I know some guys that kill it on that bait. And the one time I fished Long Beach, we whacked them pretty good on calicos, just fishing the rock walls. If a sea bass would eat it, that would be rad. yeah, there you go. It's that front one.
Wow.
So,
I think you posted this before. I seen that. Yeah, that's cool, man.
So, I got a few different things I'm kind of working on to kind of make some look like a squid, some look like an octopus a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, one guy that fishes Long Beach a lot on that the pink one and then purple one on Rapala's.
Really?
And he whacks them.
Kills it.
Probably shouldn't be telling you this, but he probably doesn't want it, but.
You didn't say a name, so they don't know where. Yeah,
exactly. So, a couple of kayak guys.
There you go. What? Let's talk about some of your personal best fish. Your spotty, maybe, calico.
I don't know.
You don't weigh anything?
Not for, that's weird. Not so much in salt water. I don't carry a scale. Mm-hmm. I know I've got spotties up to. I'm going to do inches, probably like 19 inches.
Wow, that's nice.
But those things vary so much in weight.
Yeah.
Who knows, you know? But I've got some good ones. Calico, same thing. I caught my PB Calico at Catalina on a sea bass trip.
Okay.
You know, midday. Everyone was like in the bunk sleeping. And I just had a dropper loop out. And I saw this fish boil on the kelp line. So I like rounded in a cast, hooked that thing. I have no idea what it weighed though. Staring at the picture, it could be anywhere from like 6 to 8.
Wow.
Somewhere. But
yeah.
Pull a Benny and say, if you didn't weigh it, don't say it. You know, that kind of thing. I have no idea what it weighed. And I've never weighed a calico to have like a comparison.
Yeah.
So I got a good picture.
Yeah, definitely.
I do know largemouth was 15, 12.
Your largemouth?
Yeah. At Poway.
Fuck, how was that?
It was fun.
on what?
I was on a bed, so I don't know if you want to count it or not, but that's so long ago. On a 6-inch oxblood roboworm Texas rig. Oh
gosh.
And yeah, it was crazy. I'd rented a boat, left work early, told my boss, I'm like, that same guy that got me started, you know, I was like, hey, I need to go fish.
Yeah.
He's like, all right. So I left at noon and ran a boat for the afternoon and done a drift down this one shoreline. It was like May, so fish were still kind of on beds.
Yeah.
But mostly were off to, you know, like garden fry and stuff. And I think I got a couple on like a gitsit, which was weird. They don't normally fish those things.
Yeah.
And then, we just kind of, I was drifting down the shoreline. I saw this big bed and like weeds behind it. And, like, his head sticking out of the weeds.
Right? Oh, fuck.
Ooh. And just kind of floated over it. I'm like, fuck, I'm going to spook this fish. And drifted over it, and it just sat there, like, staring at me. Like, okay. So I ended up, it was kind of in the corner of a cove, so I just let the boat hit the beach.
Mm-hmm.
And just parked it. And the male was there, too. Flipped, a lizard or something on it. And he ate it before it even hit the bottom.
Oh, shit.
And that usually spooks the female.
Mm-hmm.
But there's nothing I could do. He hit it so fast. It was like, can't get him, drop it.
Yeah.
So I caught that fish, unhooked him, kind of shove him this way.
Like, yeah.
Go swim away. And look back, the female's still sitting there. But to have that gets it tied on, which I'm spinning around. I'm like, I'm going to get my ass kicked. But
yeah,
whatever. So I flipped it out there and it did this, like those things spiral down when they sink. And she kind of came over and was like nosing it. And it spiraled down, but it never hit the bed. I missed like 3 times. Even though it just went off to the side.
Yeah.
Shit. So, and then the other fish had swallowed it, so I had to cut the line. So I'm like, all right, I'll just relax. Take a breath. Sit down. Retie. And put that oxblood worm on.
Mm-hmm.
And she was still sitting there. So I flipped that thing out. And never even saw it hit bottom. And then the fish was gone. I'm like, what the fuck? I spooked it. I thought I was done, right?
Yeah.
But I never felt anything. All of a sudden, my line's like going over here.
Oh, fuck.
Got it. I thought it was like a 7 or 8 pounder.
Yeah.
It didn't look that big, but half of it was in the weeds, so who knew?
Oh, shit.
And then once I sat on it, I'm like, oh, shit. So I got the boat off the beach and like followed it, which it didn't go very far, but came up, tried to jump and couldn't. Just kind of did this head shake and fall, yeah, flop over. And, you know, it was quick. It was over. Like, all right. Got it in my hands. My buddy came by. I'm like, dude, check this thing out.
Tripping, huh?
Yeah. He's like, that's that 8-pounder you thought you saw? Holy shit. And ended up taking it over the dock and weighing it. And, yeah, it's 15, 12.
Oh, fuck, man.
Nuts.
Have you caught a couple of fish that big? Like maybe in the double digits? I got
one other fish over 10.
Okay.
That was a couple years before that, back when they allowed you to fish water dogs,
mm-hmm,
like those baby salamanders.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing, Poway Lake, pre-spawn, though, I think, more like in March or something.
Wow.
And, yeah, usually fish those things and, like, catfish want to kill them. So it's hard to get bass to eat them because they just get crushed.
Yeah.
And they come back with all these bite marks on them and they're just mangled. Like, catfish just kill them. I don't think they eat them.
Yeah.
But somehow that day, I was in the right place, kind of fishing the spillway. And just kind of sit back and letting this thing soak. And I got a monster. Big old. That one was right at 11 even. And this is the only two that I've weighed.
Yeah.
I don't think I've got any others over 10. I've got some close at Hodges, but are probably like in the 8 to 9 range.
Just wow, that's nice.
Stare and compare.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Again, never put them on a scale or tape or anything like yeah. that. So.
Those are some nice PBs, though, man.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's going to be hard to beat.
Yeah, I hit mine early on my freshwater one. Mm-hmm. Was I used to fish Henshaw a lot.
Okay.
And rent a boat, go all the time with my buddy, and I hit it. It was like 7-something. But I was maybe a year into fishing. Nice. Not even that.
Yeah.
I had an ugly stick, a 5'6" ugly stick, a Daiwa Strike Force reel with 12-pound with a spinnerbait.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, I think I'm fucking stuck. And my buddy's like, look at your fucking tip. And it's my, that's an ugly stick, dude. I had the thing fucking bent over.
Full bender.
Yeah, it was, nice. Dude. Yeah, it was a fun time, dude. Catching, yeah. I mean, when you first start, you got some of the shittiest gear ever. You're mm-hmm. like, ah, I don't know, man. Yep. But yeah, that's some great PBs, dude. Yeah,
thank you.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate you coming on the show, man. Where can they catch you at?
On Instagram, it's at fishhead15. Facebook is Fishhead Custom Lures. I'm not as active on Facebook as Instagram.
Yeah.
But I figured out how to link those two. So if it goes on Instagram, it now automatically goes on Facebook too.
Awesome. So what's your local tackle shop you like to go to?
Well, we got a couple in Oceanside now. There's LP Fishing Supply, mm-hmm. Pacific Coast Bait and Tackle. I shop at both of those. They're also both carrying my baits now.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, working on keeping those guys stocked, which
how many, is tough. How many shops are you in?
Just those two.
Those two right now.
Okay. I've been talking with a couple others up this way.
Okay.
I think they got locked into, like, Fred Hall stuff. So
okay.
That has kind of been put on the back burner because of the shows, and mm-hmm. they've been busy. So hopefully things settle down. I'll pick up those conversations again.
Yeah.
But until I know for sure, I don't mention it.
No, I get it.
Because I don't know how they'd feel about it. But yeah, those two shops are carrying baits.
Great.
As much as I can keep them stocked.
Yeah.
Which has been...
And this will probably air before our 50th, so he'll throw in some baits too for you guys, free raffle.
Yeah, for sure.
Be cool. A lot of people are throwing a lot of cool stuff in. I don't know when this is going to air, so keep an eye out. We'll probably have way more stuff to put on. We're having two more trips. Benny Florentino put in a half day.
Nice.
And Sean Anderson, Fish On Guide Services, put in a trophy trip.
Ooh, stripers.
So, yeah, dude. Nice. So there's like three trips you could, chances of winning. So
everyone
come down. There's free stuff. Get some beers and food, and you could even get your voice on the podcast asking a question.
There you go.
So thanks for listening. Thanks, Eric, again for coming on. Oh, really appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
And stay tuned for the next one, guys.